The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Here we go. So welcome, welcome. What a joy it is to practice together, to see one another and show up here in our happy hour. So today I'd like to continue my discussion of equanimity. This has been a theme that I've been doing the last few times when I've been teaching. And some of you know that equanimity, it's not, you know, certainly it wasn't in my vocabulary. It's kind of this Buddhist word, really pointing to a steadiness, a balance, a steadfastness, you know, not being pushed around by what we are encountering, the conditions that we're finding, but instead staying upright without leaning forward, you know, trying to grab on and pull in away, trying to have aversion and separate ourselves from things. But as well as it's not an aloofness, it's not a disconnection, but it's an open-heartedness and an open-handedness in some way of being present with what's happening, but not being off balance in a subtle way and in the obvious ways. And the more we practice, the more we notice how there's these subtle ways in which we get a little bit off balance. In fact, we might spend most of our days swinging from, oh, I want this, oh, I don't want that, oh, I need this, you know, going from one side to the other. Or maybe we have just a way in which we are leaning in particular, you know, one direction. But one way to understand equanimity also is that it's a shift in perspective. Sometimes we're leaning towards things because it's not clearly articulated in our minds necessarily, but we have this idea, oh, this will be a source of happiness, of lasting happiness, or everything will be fine as soon as I get away from that. So we have these ideas which is pushing us around. And, you know, there's not so much freedom there. We're kind of at the whim of whatever conditions we find ourselves in. But to highlight this shift in perspective, I'd like to read this story. It's very short. From Joseph Goldstein, that where he shares this story that I appreciate very much. This is from his book. It's called Creating a Life of Integrity. It's actually written by Gail Stark in conversation with Joseph Goldstein. It's about the paramis, the 10 paramis, and equanimity is the 10th one. And here's a story that Joseph Goldstein says. So this is a quote. I often tell a story of two neighbors here in Massachusetts. They were building a house in the woods in a location where there were a lot of blue herons. When they finally moved into the house, they heard a faint chirping in the unfinished basement area. And they were so happy because they thought the blue herons had somehow made a nest down there. Not wanting to disturb them, they did not venture into the space for several days. Every time they heard the chirping, it brought them much joy. Then one day, the contractor came by. He went down into the basement, then came back up and told them, "Your smoke alarm down there in the basement is broken and chirping. You need to get a replacement." After that, they got totally annoyed every time they heard that chirping noise, the very same sound that had brought so much happiness just the day before. So just this shift in perspective, right, that the conditions are exactly the same. And I'm sure we all have our own version of things like this, that's either lovely until we learn some more information, or maybe it's awful until we learn some more information, in which our perspective shifts. So sometimes we think that we'll have happiness or peace and ease as soon as the environment is just right. But what's being pointed to here is with equanimity is that we can have this shift in perspective no matter what the environment is like, even if there's an annoying smoke alarm going off. So with one way we can practice with it is just exactly as we're going to be doing tonight, just with them in the manner in which we do loving kindness practice. But I'd like to also offer a way in which we can practice with this in our daily life. And that is to just notice when does it there seem to be certain amount of contentment, certain amount of ease, certain amount of okayness. Maybe it's just that moment when you have that first sip of coffee in the morning, like, ah. Or maybe there's a time slipping in bed at night. It feels comfortable and the day's over and nothing else to do. It's time to sleep. Or maybe you have a meditation practice that brings some ease, some settledness. Maybe not all the time, but you, at least you have that experience of sometimes of the mind being less busy and more willing to just be with how things are. So these have a flavor of equanimity. In this way, we can say equanimity has this big range. And so we touch into this in our daily lives, this range of what's available. So one way to cultivate equanimity is to allow equanimity to naturally arise in our daily life and or in our meditation practice. And just notice, what does it feel like? What does it feel like to not be for or against? What does it feel like to not be pushing or pulling? What does it feel like to not trying to be somewhere else or make something else happen? And this could be a subtle thing. It's so familiar that we're so often grabbing or leaning into trying to find things. This might not be so familiar. Maybe because it doesn't seem so exciting necessarily. But allow it to naturally arise. What does it feel like? What does it feel like in the body? What does it feel like in the mind? And then it'll end. If you were nonstop in equanimity, you would not be coming to happy hour. You would just be hanging out doing your own thing, right? So it ends. And then notice, what was it that caused it to end? What was it that had you get a little bit off balance? I'm using this word off balance to mean like leaning into or leaning away. It could be really subtle or it could be really obvious as well. So when you notice that equanimity is not there, investigate why it isn't there. What happened? And how does it feel now compared to the equanimity? Okay, so with that, we'll do some meditation practice in which we'll practice with equanimity as one of the Brahma Viharas. So we're going to enter into equanimity through the heart, through warm-heartedness. So we'll do a little bit of mindfulness practice just to support a settling. Then we'll do some loving-kindness practice to support the warmth and openness of the heart. And then we'll do some equanimity practice. So I'm offering two ways. One, in which you just notice when it naturally rises. It may arise during this meditation, but if not, in your daily life. And then to notice what slips away. And then the second way is you can purposely cultivate it, like we'll be doing right now. Okay, so with that as an introduction. Take a posture that feels like it has comfort and ease, as well as a brightness and sometimes our physical posture can be a support for feeling balanced, as if our posture is balanced. Just noticing how it feels to be embodied at this moment. Be tuning in to where we feel connected to the chair or cushion, or whatever it is we're sitting on. And then bring an awareness to the sensations of breathing, the feeling of the body breathing, the movements in the belly or the chest, maybe the feeling of cool and warmth as the air enters and leaves the nose. And when the mind wanders, as it's apt to do at the beginning of a meditation session especially, we just begin again, tuning into, resting the awareness on the sensations of breathing. You're feeling the in-breaths. Feeling the out-breaths. And then to begin a loving kindness practice. We'll begin where it's easy, straightforward, uncomplicated. Bring into mind a lovable being. Kittens, puppies, babies. Someone you know, or someone that's inspired you, touched your life. Perhaps. connecting with them and this any warm-heartedness we might have for the lovable being. It can be helpful to visualize them. And then to help support the mind and the heart to keep on coming back to this warm-heartedness, this care, this kindness that we have, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Connecting with this warm-heartedness, this kindness, respect, benevolence, goodwill that we feel for the lovable being. It might be at the moment it feels a little dry. It might not. We can just give ourselves over to the phrases. We don't have to fabricate, strive, strain to create something. We're just creating the conditions in which loving kindness might arise. We'll do a little bit of loving kindness for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Extending that warmth to ourselves, or including ourselves in that warmth and care. And then coming out of this warm-heartedness, this openness or spaciousness, however much is present for you at this moment, do some equanimity practice. Bring into mind somebody that you care about and it's a little bit annoying or irksome or bothersome sometimes. Not the most difficult person in your life. Somebody who is troubling a little bit for you. Bringing them to mind. And I'll be offering four different phrases. There'll be space in between them. You can just choose one. You can do more if it resonates with you, but encouragement to, if something feels like it helps to have this shift in perspective or this opening up that allows equanimity, can stick with that one. Connecting again with the mildly irritating person. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. There can be a sense of relief with equanimity when we put down all the ways in which we're trying to control or change things, and to recognize things are as they are. Allowing wisdom to arise that can inform our next action. We don't have to be passive, but to create the conditions for wisdom to arise by practicing equanimity. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. So equanimity is this shift in perspective that allows us to stay balanced and not get pushed around with some steadiness that comes out of open-heartedness, that comes out of warmth, as well as, you know, it's a perspective, it's a way in which we're experiencing and viewing our lives, people in our lives. It's part of the way in which to have happiness that's not so dependent on getting all the conditions just exactly right. Most of us have spent our lifetimes trying to get the conditions just right. And turns out to not be so easy. Some would even say not even possible. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where we'll have an opportunity to talk about this idea of equanimity and as a shift in perspective, which we can see maybe the bigger picture, or we're not as tangled up or in our experiences and able to be a little bit more steady, able to not feel like we have, like we're getting pushed around. So I'm just gonna do a little bit of balancing here. So in the breakout rooms, it's helpful to not say everything you know about a topic, but instead to just maybe say one thing and then let it go to the next person, and then they say one thing, and then it goes to the next person and they say one thing. And this way, then it comes back around and there's a spiral. And then allowing yourself to be influenced by what you hear. So it's not so much about an opportunity for you to demonstrate everything you know necessarily, but it's an opportunity to maybe be touched by others and maybe have some new ideas that you hadn't had before. So listening is just, if not a bigger part of speaking. Okay, so we'll go here for 14 minutes. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the number of characters in your screen name. So if you have a really short screen name, including if you have pronouns or locations, just all the characters. If you have a short one, you'd go first. Otherwise, you'd go last. And I announced that and some people leave. So maybe they had short screen names. Didn't want to go first. Okay, here we go. Have fun. Okay. Welcome back. Are there any comments or questions or something you'd like to share? After having an opportunity to talk about equanimity, maybe you spoke about blue herons sounding like smoke alarms, like that story earlier. Yes, Neil.
So one question that came up that we talked about was, you know, sometimes you feel equanimous, and you could feel that way, you know, for maybe not constantly, but for a period of time, you know, days, weeks, even, right? And then you get knocked off your game, right? You lose it somehow, right? And how do you like figure out what's happened and, you know, try to restore it?
Yeah. So one thing is to think about equanimity as this shift in perspective. So is there something that can change our perspective? For example, one thing is to think of, there's two ways that, well, there's countless ways, but here's two that I'll share. One is to think about, intentionally bring to mind something about vastness. So in terms of time or space, like, you know, human beings have been around for quite some time, and the planet has been around for so long. And is this really going to matter so much? Is it going to have the same magnitude of importance next week, next month, next year, next decade, next millennium? So to just play around with that, thinking about how many life experiences you've had, even just today, if we think about, you know, feeling a little bit hungry, and then, oh, and then I ate, and then the conversation, and then I didn't, you know, there's so many experiences that we have, and we tend to kind of like gloss them over and lump them together, or because they're neutral, we don't even notice. So vastness, either in terms of number of experiences we have, and why are we choosing to focus on this one, or vastness in terms of time. Yeah, this may not have such a big difference later. Vastness in terms of space, stars and planets and, you know, our locations. Anything like this that can help us become less of the center of our awareness. I'm looking at myself in the little square in Zoom, and sometimes when our when we are having difficulties, our awareness gets like this big that it fills up almost all the entire view. And there's only maybe like a little bit here in the corners that have room for anything else. But sometimes we can, if we think about vastness, it just helps put our problem, our issue, you know, into perspective. So maybe it's just this size in all this space. That's one. And maybe I'll just say it's along the same lines, but maybe to intentionally bring in mind things change. Things change. Things change. Whether we want them to or not. So can we work with that, with the way that things change? When I say work with that, I don't mean like make it change a particular way. I mean, can we hold that in the way that, okay, it's not going to be like this forever, even though it might feel like it. There's an intellectual part of us that understands it won't be like this forever. And that might also help us to kind of get a little bit less tangled up and pushed around. Does that help, Neil?
It was lovely. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm wishing you all some equanimity. And then, of course, a little bit that I talked about is just notice when it does arise, when we have a certain amount of contentment. That can help just the mind and the heart having some familiarity with that. Just makes it more likely that the mind and heart will gravitate towards it. Okay, so wishing you all some equanimity in your time, your days, evenings, nights, and I'll see you on Thursday. So if you'd like to unmute, you can say goodbye. So goodbye, and
thank you, Diana. Bye, Neil. Bye, everybody. Thank you, Greg. Bye, Diana.
Thank you for all.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yes. Yes, good job.
Hi, Trudy. Nice to see you.
Thank you.